Now, let's turn, please, to Joshua chapter 1. Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you. Joshua chapter 1, and I want us to read just a few verses together, starting at the verse 10. The verse 10, "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying," the word "then" would have us look back to what had happened before. And what had happened before was the Lord, as it were, installing Joshua as the leader of Israel in the place of Moses. And he gives Joshua some wonderful promise. Wonderful promise. Boys and girls, you know, we should seek the Lord and ask him to speak unto us and give to us promises like those that are given here unto Joshua. Of course, these promises given to Joshua have been recorded for you to read. And when you read them, they should prompt you to say, "Lord, give me a promise. Give me a promise like this. Help me to make this promise mine." And I'll take the time just now to go over the promises that were given, but will you take the time? Will you, maybe before you go to bed tonight, just read, say, from verse 6 and see what God has to say to Joshua. Because he's saying it to us as well. He wants us to hear him speak these words as well. So, verse 10 again. "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying," you can take charge of a nation with confidence when you have God's promise. So he says to the officers of the people, the senior princes and commanders, "Pass through the host," the whole gathering. "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals," or food, the old word for food. It's not that old, because I can remember it being used in common speech. And don't you be thinking, "Ah, but she, you're old." That wouldn't be very nice of you. But it's not that long that he announced her that word was in common speech. "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land." If you remember the story, and if you can visualize the layout of Israel, not a very big country, you know, and right down on the eastern side, the right-hand side, as you look at the map, there's the River Jordan. And all the land west of the Jordan was given unto Israel, but also some of the land that was on the eastern side of the Jordan. It had been given to the 2.5 tribes, and they're the ones that are mentioned here in verse 12, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh. They were given this particular portion of the land, suitable for their particular calling. They were men who looked after cattle, and the land was just ideal for it, and they had conquered the occupants of the land, defeated them, and so they said to Moses, "Can we have this land?" And Moses said, "Yes, you can have this land, provided when the rest of Israel crosses the Jordan, your soldiers, your fighting men of these 2.5 tribes will go with them and help them to fight the enemies that are in the land which they hope to possess." Now that was only fair, because the territory occupied by the 2.5 tribe on the eastern side of the Jordan, that land had been conquered not just by 2.5 tribes, but by all of Israel. So all of Israel was engaged in that particular battle. And now, as they move into the territory that's going to be occupied by the rest of Israel, it was proper that the 2.5 tribes send their fighting men along with the rest of Israel to help in the conquest of the land. So, in the verse 13, Joshua says, you remember the word which Moses commanded you, the agreement you made with him, that you would send your men? Verse 14, your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land, that is, on the eastern side of Jordan, which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan before the sun rising. We'll end the reading there, and I trust the Lord will bless it to our heart. Now, the last time we were together, we considered the first likeness that Joshua had to our Savior, and that was he had the same name. The name Joshua is the same name as that which was given to the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua, which is a Hebrew name. Both names mean Savior. Both names mean Savior. And you can see, of course, how that Joshua, in leading the people into the promised land, was indeed a Savior unto the people. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he is leading his people into a more glorious promised land. It's a good thing, you know, boys and girls, as we start another day, it's a good thing for each one of you who are saved to realize that as we have lived through the days that have come up to now and we're starting another day, we are being led by the Lord Jesus to the promised land. Never forget that. I know at this time of the year you might have exams in your mind. We're heading for exams. And maybe you're looking beyond that and we're heading for the summer holiday. Please, above all those things, remember the Lord Jesus is leading you to the promised land of glory. We need ever to bear that in mind. So, that was the first likeness that we saw between Joshua and the Lord Jesus Christ. The second likeness I want us to consider is the fact that he took over from Moses. Moses was not allowed to lead the people into the promised land. He reached the limits of his labors, of his authority, of his ability on the eastern banks of the Jordan. Couldn't go any further. If you remember why that was, it was because during the 40 years in the wilderness, there was an occasion when the people, as they ever seemed to be doing, were whinging and yearning and murmuring and complaining against Moses. I have read those portions many times, and I have to say, I nearly always have to write down some wee comment on the side of my Bible. There's hardly any room left. Just noting this murmuring that went on. And they murmured about the same things that they had murmured only a few days before, and had been judged for and punished for, because their murmurings were against the Lord, and they wickedly spoke against the Lord. And he judged, and they had been humbled, confessed their sin, and God in mercy forgave them. But only a few days passed and they were at the same murmuring again. On the particular occasion we're thinking of, it was about water. It was about water. And God had given them water again and again and again and again and again in a place where there was no water. So it was a most miraculous provision. But still they complained. They didn't seem to think, wait a minute, I know we need water today, but we needed water last week and the month before that, and God undertook, so we look to the Lord today. No, they didn't think like that. And that's the way we are too, you know. We're not inclined to learn anything. But we read that they murmured. And the Lord said to Moses, there's a rock, go to it and speak to it, and it will bring forth water. Think of that, just a rock. And he was to go and stand before it and command it to bring forth water. That's all he was to do. But Moses was vexed and annoyed with all this murmuring. And he had the rod of God in his hand, and he struck the rock twice, and it brought forth water. But God said, you did wrong. You ought not to have struck the rock. That showed unbelief. You weren't prepared to do as just I said you should do. Just speak. But in fit of unbelief, you thought that mightn't be enough, so you struck the rock as well. And because of that, you will not lead Israel into the promised land. Your feet will never stand in the promised land. Poor old Moses. You know, boys and girls, it doesn't take much sometimes to rob us of God's blessing. It might seem that what we're doing is very small and of no real importance, and I'm sure God will not mind, but God does mind when we do wrong. And there are times when, by doing wrong, we will be robbing ourselves of much. So Moses, because of that, was not able to bring them into the promised land. Joshua was going to do that. I want you to learn a significant doctrinal truth today. When we think of Moses, what do we think of? The law. Ten commandments. For Moses was the law giver. Time and time again throughout the scriptures is spoken of as the law of Moses. So Moses, the lawgiver, the man identified with the law, wasn't able to bring Israel into the promised land. And that's very, very significant. Very significant. Because that picture is used in the New Testament to illustrate a very, very important truth. I'm reading from Romans, the chapter 8 and the verse 3. It's a key verse. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What the law couldn't do, the Lord Jesus did. So see the picture here. What Moses couldn't do, Joshua did. What is it the law of God cannot do? It cannot save you. That's what it cannot do. Just as Moses couldn't bring them into the promised land, neither can the law. Though it has to be said that the vast majority of people in the world who would class themselves as Christians are looking to the law to bring them into the promised land. They're looking to the law to save them. How? Well, they think that if I do this, and if I do that, and if I keep commandments, I get to heaven. But the law cannot save you. Now, Romans 3 tells us why the law cannot save you. Did you see what it said? For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. I want you to get the picture here. The weakness of the law is the flesh. That means this, boys and girls. The law would get you to heaven if you weren't weak. You remember the man who came to the Lord Jesus and said, what must I do to be saved? And the Lord Jesus says, what does the law say? And he quoted the law. And the Savior said, this do, and I shall be saved. But the problem is, he couldn't keep the law. Neither can you, and neither can I. That's where the weakness is. Not the law. It's we can't keep the law. There's the weakness. There's the weakness. It's like a bridge stretching across a great chasm. It'll carry you over safely. But if you're too weak to cross the bridge, then the bridge is unable to accomplish that work. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, be saved. Because we're not able. We're not able to keep the law. Nothing wrong with the law. The fault lies with us. But you see, what Moses couldn't do, Joshua did. And what the law couldn't do, because of our weakness, there came one who took our place, kept the law for us. That was important. We all believe that Jesus died for us. But before his death could mean anything, he had to live for us. He kept all the commandments of God for us, the commandments that we had broken. He kept them all. And then when he died, he was paying the price of the breaking of the law of which we were guilty. So he kept the law and he paid the price of the broken law of which we were guilty. That's how Jesus is the Savior. That's how the Lord Jesus saves him. Joshua led them in. Moses couldn't. The Lord Jesus will lead us to glory when the law cannot because of our sin. There's another verse, and I'll close with this. This is found in Galatians, the chapter 3 and the verse 24. It tells us what the law does do. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. Well, now, nobody needs an explanation of those words. Here we are, sitting in school, and amongst you there are teachers. And God tells us that the law is our schoolmaster. Now, what is the law going to teach us? The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. What was the lesson the law schoolmaster would have us learn? We can't save ourselves. We have tried to keep the law and we fail. We'll not get to heaven by keeping the law. We can't keep it. So the law brings us to Christ. The law says you can't save yourself by keeping me, but there's one who will undertake for you. It brings us to Christ. Sickness will bring you to the doctor who can help you. Our failure to keep the law will make us realize we need a Savior. Jesus is the Savior, says the law. What Moses couldn't do, Joshua did. Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus today? Or are you saying, oh, I get to heaven because my mommy and daddy's going to heaven, and I go everywhere with them. They take me to Sunday school, they take me to church, they take me to the prayer meeting, they take me here to school every day. I get to heaven by doing these things. No, you won't. You will only get to heaven by taking hold of the hand of the Lord Jesus by faith and following him. Are you doing that? May the Lord bless his word to our heart. Let's pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, teach us this solemn lesson. There's no Savior but the Lord Jesus. He is our Joshua who will lead us to the promised land. Hallelujah. Lord, we get nearer every day. O God, keep our eyes fixed on the end of the journey. Bless us now. Bless the school today and all those who have been praying for, Lord, who need your healing touch. Remember them today for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.